city commerce, but don't have time. Call e-commerce hotline, e-commerce hotline. If you need help to make your store shine, call e-commerce hotline, e-commerce hotline. 888-499-3266. 888-499-3266. Wanna see you win? It's time for you to shine. Call e-commerce hotline, e-commerce hotline.
The e-commerce hotline, brought to you by Bemeyer.
Hello and welcome to the e-commerce hotline by Bemeyer. I am your host, Mayor Bianchi, founder of Bemeyer, and I'm here today with the illustrious Paul Rogers, the founder, co-founder of Vervaunt. Vervaunt is a e-commerce consultancy and paid media agency focused on luxury brands out of the UK. So, Paul, why don't you introduce yourself and tell us a little more about Vervaunt and what you do for brands?
Yeah, great. Yeah, thanks. Thanks for inviting me on as well. I think it's about 18 months in the making.
This has been a long time.
The first episode, but yeah, we've both cancelled quite a lot, particularly me. But yeah, just to introduce myself. So yeah, my name's Paul. I co-founded Vervaunt, which is a team of 55 based in London. As you say, e-com consultancy, kind of e-com strategy, replatforming, and then performance marketing. Our average client is a premium fashion brand or a kind of lifestyle brand. And we work with people like Stussy, Ganni, Pangaea, Doc Martens, Champion, various others in that same kind of segment. And then my day to day, I'm pretty hands-on as an e-com consultant, spend very little time on the business and spend most of my time with clients and kind of solutionizing, and do a lot of work specifically on kind of platform selection and road mapping and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So you're actually out in the field with clients on the go. You can catch Paul sometimes in America, sometimes in the throes of Europe. Shout outs for anyone who's watching. Paul is also a near and dear friend of mine. I've known Paul since 2017, 2018, but yeah, his reputation on the internet far precedes him. He has a top blog, and he's a very well-known consultant in the ecosystem. So it's a blessing to have you with us today, Paul, and thanks for sharing. You're doing some really exciting work. I know there is a big focus in the luxury brand space on Shopify, and particularly Shopify Enterprise is a new entrant to the market, And I think it's interesting because typically, you know, Shopify started working in a smaller scale when it, you know, historically, and then obviously Shopify Plus came along and they started going after different kinds of merchants. And then slowly the market demand is built. And now they actually have a tailored, catered enterprise offering, which is kind of like an offshoot of the commerce components, which was kind of more of a focused on the composable space. But now enterprise is a full-throated, hey, we're here to get the biggest, best companies and meet all their complex requirements. And I think that's really interesting because that's the market catching up. And so what does that really mean for you and the type of brands you work with? Because aren't you guys an enterprise partner of Shopify? So you must have some, you know, good insights on this.
Yeah, so I think, so we're quite close to Shopify, I would say. Like, on paper, we're agnostic, but as you say, like, because of the type of client we work with, we definitely work more with Shopify than any other platform. And I would say, I feel like I kind of saw this coming. I think a lot of people did, but Shopify have had, you know, a really strong marketing presence. You know, they've been the kind of type of business operating on the platform, growing on the platform, has been kind of has been growing a lot over the last few years. And also the way that people kind of talk about Shopify and the size of their ecosystem is, you know, new. I think, like, I don't think many people loved their e-com platform, or, you know, they've basically just done a really good job with market fit. And I think they've, yeah, as you say, started an SMB and kind of worked their way up. I think the enterprise piece is really interesting. So yeah, definitely doesn't surprise me. And I think essentially what Shopify have probably seen is, so they've obviously had their volume play for a long time. They've then gradually started to get more like higher revenue brands on the platform. And mm-hmm. then they've seen the income around those brands generally. So not just payments and licensing, but, you know, ecosystem value and the kind of impact that has on bringing different tech partners and everything else. I think they've seen the value of that. And then recently, they've obviously doubled down on enterprise, and then they've kind of brought someone in to build the go-to-market strategy. And then they've gradually built out the teams that they need to go to market. So I think that's one thing. And then I also think for the last couple of years, while there's been a lot of hype around Composable and some of the other platforms have been like slowly introducing like, you know, new features and maybe getting a little bit more prominent, I think Shopify has kind of re-architected the majority of their platform and kind of now built for enterprise. So things like checkout extensions, functions, you know, Hydrogen, I think, is a good step in the right direction for those that want to go down the headless route. And I think they're creating something relatively unique with that. And then the biggest one probably being the international side, and then more recently, the order management side. So I think they've kind of got this product now. They've kind of realized the opportunity that's there with the enterprise across all of their kind of income streams. And then now I think they're ready to go at it. The only thing I would say, so their definition of enterprise is based on revenue, and it's $1-5 million and above. So good, maybe not necessarily everyone's definition of enterprise.
It's definitely more in the right direction.
Yeah, definitely. But I think that they are chipping away at it. And my view of the market is that you've got some of the other composable platforms over here that are kind of doing okay. And, you know,
like commerce tools.
So I think Commerce Tools, True Enterprise, they do very well. In the UK, you've got platforms like Scale and Centra that are doing very well. Then there's a few others that are like low volume, but they're winning some good brands and some good projects. But I think Shopify, the volume they've got, even in the enterprise, is massive. And they are winning a lot. They're getting a lot of traction. Because the other thing is these deals take longer to convert. They've got, you know,
And also once company hears about, oh, insert big major company X, then they build comfort and that gets used in the sales pressure and then it kind of snowballs.
So they've just won a massive one, I think is around $1 billion, and it's like a household name. And I think that will definitely have a bit of an impact. And that's kind of what they've always done. So, you know, they've had the Gymshark and the Kylie Cosmetics and...
Yeah, and Supreme and Skims and all these big brands.
And they'll get the category leading, you know, high profile consumer brands, and then they'll, you know, the rest will follow. And I think they're going to do that in the enterprise as well. I know they've spoken to some of the biggest, you know, retailers in the world. But
it's
only
a matter of time.
Exactly. They've converted a few. And then now I think the only thing I would say is I think it's a very different way of selling. I think Shopify is still adapting to, but they have, you know, they've hired so many people from Salesforce in particular, but also Adobe and, you know, various other vendors.
That's the other thing, right? None of this is happening in a vacuum. So you have people that have this experience who are readily available in the market. Shopify is the biggest company, has the most money. They can attract the talent when they're ready to make that play. So I wouldn't say it makes them an unstoppable force, but for the time being, they're the hottest game in town on all fronts.
I think Shopify, I mean, the volume they've got, like, you know, the...
It just keeps getting bigger and bigger.
And the orientate, like, every, like, you know, tech, but they've just got so much advocacy across every strand of the market.
It's truly remarkable. Hate it or love it, it's truly remarkable. And also, I was on a chat with this guy, Brandon Amoroso, and he was saying, like, you know, in 10 years, I don't think there's going to be other e-commerce platforms. Like, Shopify is going to own everything. And I see why people say that. I disagree just because I think out of other countries, there's innovation and there's going to be something that comes along and disrupts the market or something's going to happen. But I think for now, Shopify is the right platform for most people in most cases. And that's kind of, no one has a really good competing answer. Once again, I'm interested in things like Centra and why somebody would say, no, we're going to go with this platform, because I think healthy competition and choices are good for the market, right? If one company has too much power, it's ultimately bad. But in this case, it has so much utility. So, yeah.
I think, I for a long time, have compared Shopify to Windows. And I do think at a certain level, in a lot of categories.
Toby is Bill Gates.
Shopify essentially are building like the de facto solution, and you know, you almost have to have a rationale as to why you wouldn't go Shopify.
Exactly.
The thing that I think that a lot of people don't see about Shopify, everyone thinks they're, you know, an e-com platform, and you're trying to compare Shopify to commerce tools and Salesforce and Adobe and whatever else, and already, you know, it's not apples for apples. But the thing that people don't see is the breadth of Shopify. Like, so a number of our clients now, in fact, like soon, a number of our clients will be using Shopify for wholesale, POS globally, and then obviously online, and then they'll use their other sales channels for things like TikTok Shop, Instagram Shop, etc., etc. And I think what you're ending up with, and in addition to the customer data, which is where I'm going, and it's kind of like, you know, you've got a true unified, you know, view of the customer, and then you've also got a constantly improving architecture for like storing data, and you know, as they introduce more functionality around segmentation, and you know, they've obviously improved how meta fields are used across the platform, and there's various other ways that data can be stored in and around Shopify. You do end up with something that, you know, in other platforms or in other ecosystems, you might need 5 to 10 solutions for. And people have always criticized the app side, but actually that is something that is going to be really hard to beat if they get that, if they take what they've got here for a $5 million brand and get that to the point where it's compatible with the enterprise.
And I will just say that the enterprise gets to benefit from both ends of the ecosystem, meaning theoretically you can get a plug and play thing from the app store and use it, but then you're also going to get your more custom, heavier apps integrated. And either way, you're going to know there's support. And the fact that you're on such a popular platform means that there's kind of a pull versus, for example, let's just say Adobe Commerce or Magento, where, hey, to plug something in requires a certain process. And then on top of that, it requires the support of the third party. And Shopify is like the planet Jupiter. It has massive gravity, so it's pulling everything into its orbit. And I think that just makes it such an easier bet to go after for a company. And also, like you said, the simplicity of managing all of your channels from one place and having something that's so interoperable is like a dream to both IT and a dream to the actual business folks that use and depend on the platform, because it creates efficiencies or just creates new opportunities that you couldn't. So, like, for example, say an enterprise, it takes 12 months, 18 months to get a project off the ground. Well, now it might be possible to do it in 6 months, and that could be game changing, for example. Yeah. Or just throwing a theoretical concept out there.
Because I think like this conversation is quite hard, because I just keep thinking of things as you're like, you know, like kind of touching on other topics. But I think in terms of why Shopify is going to be hard to compete with, I think they're very broad. So, you know, obviously customer data is one. But I also think they're gradually at the lower end kind of chipping away at things that you might want, like historically house within an ERP. So essentially you're like reducing some of the reliance on an ERP, and that might then enable you to be slightly more simple, or maybe just give you a bit more room to buy back office systems that, you know, aren't NetSuite or, you know, Dynamics 365 or SAP, and more, you know, buy like a modern OMS or, you know, ISP or whatever. So I think I think the other thing that Shopify have within their little kind of proposition that's quite unique to market, so they've basically got like an analytics platform now, and, you know, it's not, if you're an analyst, or, you know, if you're a massive brand and, you know, you're trying to build all your trade reports and, you know, you want a view of like more of the on-site behavioral stuff, like you're going to struggle. But realistically, more and more brands are relying on it. And I think, so when you factor in, like, I think what it ultimately comes down to is what you end up prioritizing.
What has value for your organization as it's configured?
And in today's market, what people want is low OPEX costs. And Shopify, you know, is unrivaled in that area. And then they want low time to market for new features. And, you know, they want a very simple, low maintenance tech stack end to end. And I think that's what Shopify stands for. And I think when you factor in the volume they've got and some of that other stuff that's unique to the market, I think they're going to be tough to beat. The only thing I would say is what people prioritize. One, differs in different categories and at different ends of the market, and two, does change over time. So yes. I think one trend in Europe, I would say, like, a lot of the really big omni-channel brands are looking at the likes of Centra, who maybe right now have slightly more flexibility around the international side and the order management side. So I think, like, the really, you know, some of those larger ones, they
shout out to Max Brennan, still waiting to talk to you.
That's funny that you know him. But yeah, they
almost there.
Yeah, he's a cool guy. But yeah, I think they've got something unique. And I think, you know, some of the brands they've won. So I think I'm allowed to say, you know, some of the H&M brands and Me&M and Samso, like, those brands are clearly prioritizing either one of or a combination of those things where Centra is stronger than Shopify.
But when you say omnichannel, that means it's like helping with their POS too, and like
their more that I think Shopify, because Shopify POS is great, and you know, if you're a certain level of complexity, Shopify is perfect. And actually,
is Shopify POS good for a chain such as H&M, or is it not matured enough yet?
I personally think it's, you know, it's not, it's, I would say you probably wouldn't compare it with some of like the market leading POS systems if you're, if you've got 100 stores and you most
that's
of
what I'm asking.
Got to a certain point and then maybe struggled and ended up moving to something else. But I think that will change. And I think POS would be the focus for them at the minute.
Well,
and
that's what I was going to say. Like, that's what we, going back to what we've been saying about Shopify, is when they decide it's time to make their POS better, they will, and they will probably succeed. If you look at just 2 years ago or in the last 2 years, POS got a major shift forward, right? They made it more capable, more able to be used, more easily. Like, they put some emphasis on it. And so what you're saying is, like, there could be another round of R&D right now so that as they go enterprise, hey, now we also have an enterprise-grade POS on the back of that.
Yeah, I think they're already doing this, and you know, they've got a roadmap.
Yeah, in process, possibly.
Things like stock transfers, and there's a few other bits that just maybe make a certain level of retailer uncomfortable if you've got complexity in store. Like,
exactly.
Someone recently that had, like, you know, really configurable product in store and made to order in store, and they struggled with POS. And it's, that's not to say it can't be done. And similarly to online store POS, but there's a lot of like re-architecting, but
yes.
I think it will just take a bit of time. Sorry, go on.
No, sorry. I wanted to go back to one thing you said about analytics, because Shopify's analytics are also technically first party analytics, right? Like, meaning if I'm brand.com and the Shopify analytics are being collected on my site, that data is coming from the same source of truth as my orders. Whereas previously, say you're using GA4 or GA Universal, you have to reconcile, and there's always a variance of accuracy between it. And then the server side tracking matters. But now if it's all server side on Shopify and client side on Shopify, and it's originating from your top level domain, my question is that going to be useful in this, you know, getting rid of third party cookies environment? Will Shopify analytics be blocked just the same, or because it's originating from your domain, will it work?
I mean, I believe Shopify still use cookies for certain bits of tracking. They've obviously,
but I meant, is it a first party cookie, like from your brand's domain?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I think it's a bit of a combination dependent on what you're looking at, to be perfectly honest. But they're obviously in a really good position from a first party cookie perspective, and everything's kind of, you know, server side from their perspective. But I do think that, I mean, it's basic and there's no real flexibility around it. But what people want up to a certain extent is just low maintenance reporting, and they're willing to accept that there might be like a degree of accuracy missing, rather than needing to constantly maintain GA4 And also, you know, need a PhD to use it and, you know, have no real understanding across the business. So I think people are open to like simplicity around that stuff. But I'm not saying it's market leading by any stretch of the imagination. I'm not even saying that a certain level of brand should definitely use the more like the traffic reports and stuff like that. But I do think that, again, it's something that could get a lot better, and they do just have all of this uniqueness now. You know, the same applies to some of the social integrations. Yeah, various other things that are just quite unique. So I think they are building a really solid proposition. But I think when the only thing I would say is, I think a lot of enterprise deals, there's still areas where they'll probably fall short right now. And I think there's areas where they'll be very rigid right now. But I think over time that will change.
And also I think it becomes a seesaw of what you are willing to compromise on to get all the good things that come with it. And that will eventually keep balancing in the other way, right? Like there might be all the check boxes might be checked, but there might be one thing holding a company back from a big deal. And if it's a really big brand, Shopify will obviously prioritize that or try some way to make that happen. And like I said, nothing happens in a vacuum, but I can totally see how that goes. And it's always going to be one of those things where once that brand announcement is made, it's going to shock the e-commerce world and then more people run on. Like I like to use the analogy of the boat, you know, like say you're on a nice Norwegian cruise since you're from Europe, you know, you're in the Arctic Circle and everyone is on one side of the ship, but then somebody spots like the most majestic blue whale on the other side of the ship. All the guests run to the other side of the ship. So, you know, like there's kind of a herding behavior in e-commerce and in technology where when there's a big splash, people take notice. And I think that is like what you said before, when they announce a big, you know how they were throwing Mattel's name around as the banner client for the commerce components. And so there's going to be another household name like that, that will be the enterprise banner client, I feel like.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, to be honest, they, some of our biggest clients are looking at them that are like super complex, like hundreds and hundreds of million dollars worth and of trade.
Would you say, why are they considering that? Yeah. Like what is the factor that has them saying, hey, I've always wanted to look at this platform, now I can, or what's the...
I mean, the interesting thing is now, so there's multiple reasons. I mean, Shopify has got a lot of positive, it's got very positive reputation around it at the moment. There's a lot of hype around it. There's a lot of newness. Obviously, all of the addition stuff is very clever marketing. You know, there's a lot of positive stories around it as well at different levels of the market. But I also think the interesting thing now with Shopify having over 3 million stores, I believe, is most businesses now will have someone within their e-com team that has worked with Shopify, loved it, and will be like chipping away at different stakeholders in the business to say, you know, why don't we move Shopify? This would be easy on Shopify.
That's been my experience. Like there's always that possibility when you're on another platform that someone comes in, they're like, hey, why don't we do Shopify? Or hey, there's always that question, or there's always the opposite polarity. But it's like, I forgot what the old adage was, but it's like no one ever got fired for recommending Shopify. Like it's it becomes a safer choice, but it also has a lot of value. So,
and I think in the enterprise, like, I mean, I have done platform valuation 2 years ago. I did platform valuation processes and there'd be a CTO in a room. That CTO would think they needed to select a Mac technology. Or they needed to go composable, or they needed headless in order. Okay. You know, and I think as if you've got a CTO, you know, you almost have to like advocate like best in class and you know, modern approaches to tech projects. So I feel like everyone kind of had to go down that route. I think before that, it was like no one ever got fired for Salesforce or SAP or Webster. And then I think Magento was kind of like in and amongst that for a little bit, and then maybe lost it a while back. But yeah, I do agree. I think Shopify is going that way. But the only thing I would say is I think it's interesting because I think most businesses, a lot of businesses at the moment aren't making decisions based on technology. They're making decisions for like business reasons. And a lot of that is coming down.
The technology has to follow. It's not just about having the best tech. It's about like using that tech to enable the business goal. And because the environment we're operating in, there's such a squeeze. There's market consolidation. Yeah. And so anything that provides an advantage, I think, is attractive.
And in addition to that, I think businesses that have a budget, they want to invest higher proportions of that budget in new customer acquisition and brand experience. At least that's what I'm seeing. And less money in building IP from a technical perspective. So,
it has less value, right?
market fit at the moment. But yeah, it's interesting. I do think there's still competition, though. I think, you know, in the true enterprise, I don't think Shopify's there yet, in truth. I don't think it's flexible enough for like those real enterprise businesses, and I think they're still building the teams. And then I think even, you know, in the complex segment of mid-market, I think, you know, platforms like Centra are particularly compelling in Europe. And I think then you've got, you know, the likes of Scale and Commerce Layer, who also, you know, can, for certain types of projects, can be very compelling. And then I think B2B, they're still new, quite immature. And I think right now it feels like there's a huge market for them in brands that have with some level of wholesale going through like a new order or a jaw or some kind of you know, wholesale platform, and it's relatively straightforward. But they've still got a way to go and get the big manufacturers that have, you know, 100,000 price books or, you know, super complex quoting requirements like that. Kind of.
And also just from a, just from a data perspective, like there's so many pieces of it. If you know Shopify's historical architecture where you have to like build that trust. And that's the part I'm definitely interested to see, because you're putting a lot of faith in a company when you are an enterprise, you know, and you're using SaaS. Yeah. And there's a lot that goes into it. And I think, I mean, that's what the world's become more reliant on. And so obviously I'm sure Shopify also hardens their backbone or has separate server, you know, like a lot of the like global concerns, like when there's an outage, can't happen for enterprise,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, but the only thing is they are working through that. And I think we
No, that's what I mean. They wouldn't go after enterprise if they weren't making that a priority, because that's like the number one thing.
So I think infrastructure is one thing, but one of the things that your original question, I think, was like how they're approaching enterprise, and they're ticking off every box from like a service perspective. Like one of the big things, so when I've spoken to enterprise retailers that have looked at Shopify versus Salesforce in particular, one thing that I think, and Adobe, that but one thing that frustrates them is that Shopify has no skin in the game. And I think the big groups and the big retailers want Shopify teams in their project, and you know, they want them to be accountable for the delivery of the project.
You're saying they're putting it on an agency partner or putting it on the customer themselves. And there's no like,
yeah, exactly. Risk factors. Yeah. So I think professional services is something they had to do. And I mean, even, you know, you and I,
so they are coming out with their own professional services for enterprise.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And you know, they've got teams that I think will be able to support the delivery if you're like a super complex,
which is interesting because I have heard no one up in arms about that. But when Klaviyo announced their professional services team, it was like the pitchforks came out.
I do think it's
completely different, but
the only, I think the professional services piece with Shopify only affects the real top enterprise businesses that realistically they're not going to win if they don't put these layers in place. And I think,
but that's literally what Klaviyo said too. Like we can't win certain deals unless we have a professional services team.
But I think that makes, and to be honest, like when you look at a lot of businesses that have become mature, you know, businesses, actual businesses, like the software companies, the last pillar to their business is usually professional services. So, you know, Adobe did it. All of the like...
Adobe cloud. Had it all along, honestly, but it they had it from... And I'm talking about Magento, right?
Yeah, they doubled down on it. And I think, you know, they kind of realized what role that needed to play towards the end. I think...
Well, it also keeps your biggest clients... It helps you solidify those big names. So why wouldn't you do that? To me, it seems...
There's big revenue, like, you know, you're not talking.
Yes, there's revenue, but what I'm saying is, like, if you can't win a Nike or whatever, right, if you can't win the biggest brand in the world without having it, then you must have it if that's your objective, is to get the brand.
Exactly. So I think there's multiple reasons to do it, but that's the biggest one for me for Shopify.
Exactly. And so while we still have time, I wanted to shout out the smaller brands on Shopify, like P's and Q's, like DrinkSip, because I think it's important to kind of say that like Shopify still is available for the lower ends of the market, your DTC brands, your small, multi-store or single store brick and mortars. And it's still such a great platform for them too. So I think I like that there's this move towards enterprise, but there's not like they're abandoning all the millions of businesses that are, you know, successfully using the platform.
I do agree with that, but I do think the biggest threat to Shopify's enterprise move is that, because I think if you look at, like, I went to their partner council meeting in New York just after NRF, and Like some of the moves they're making are definitely.
It's like the Bohemian Grove of Shopify. Just kidding. All right.
Yeah. But some of the things they're doing are moving towards low code and no code here. And I think the whilst they're going into the enterprise, you know, they're trying to, you know, essentially attract or like get the likes of Accenture and EY and whoever else to build Shopify practices. And, you know, these projects, obviously, you know, a lot of the consultancies and the big SIs would want to be making multiple millions of dollars per account per year. And I think the only one thing I would say is like, you know, historically their mission has been to like commoditize commerce. And I've always really respected how merchant first Shopify is.
Yeah, like arm the rebels. Yeah.
Yeah, but like you look at Salesforce and, you know, some of the other enterprise vendors and how they build their ecosystem, it's very partner first. So I think that's the only thing that I think is kind of like, and I think they'll win, like they'll figure this out and how they
change
some of the pricing stuff and done some of the rev share stuff, like I think will help that. But overall, I feel like in order for those partners to make the money, they have to really like broaden the scope of the project and they have to cover back office and they have to put more hours into delivery and discovery and everything else. And the only thing I would say is that there's nuance there between delivering a Shopify project and a Salesforce project or a commerce tools project for those real enterprise partners, especially as Shopify, you know, kind of improves or like commoditizes core further. So it's just, I guess it part of it could be that, you know, they're using just the checkout or, you know, they're using Hydrogen or whatever else, but there's definitely like, that's something that needs to be managed, I think.
Yeah. And I think, I don't know, I'm just excited to see where it goes because it's clearly winning the game right now. And I want to see when you see like, hey, this is the tent pole experience. It makes everyone else work harder to make their product better. And coming back to that theme of, I don't want to see where they're the only game in town, not because, hey, they can be the best and that's great. Like it's good that there's a company that has achieved this level of success because it has made the e-commerce world a better place overall. But I just mean like if Shopify says, hey, here's the defining, you know, this is like the big boy, like this is the site, this is the brand that changed the game. Well, then Salesforce or Adobe or some other platform, commerce tools, they're going to react. And whether it's whether they can beat them is another question. But the point is, it still drives innovation. It still drives competition. There's always going to be someone who wants the other flavor just by default. And and so I think it's going to be interesting when Shopify gets even more aggressive in the market. Like that could happen a little later. While we still have time here, so I'm just going to say that there is absolutely going to have to be a part two of this discussion where we dive deeper on some of this.
We're still on question one, aren't we? I think we just ended up talking not about Shopify.
Yeah, so there's a couple topics I want to cover, but we have like about 3 minutes left here for this episode. So I want to make sure while we're on this subject that you have a summit happening in May of 2024. Your company, Vervant, has gotten so big that you actually have a 600-person event, one-day event in London with some of the best and brightest minds in e-commerce speaking, and there's a whole day of learning and talk. So I just wanted to give you a chance to say a quick piece about that so that way we can share the link about the summit to people and make sure people know about this amazing event before it sells out.
Yeah, lovely. Yeah, I mean, I think it'll be really good. So it's our third one. First one was about 300. Last one was about 600. This one hopefully will be 800 people.
800 people.
Really good speakers, lots of panels, mostly kind of brand speakers. Yeah, and some really good topics, like lots of kind of stuff around innovation and brand and, you know, acquisition and international strategy and road mapping and all of that kind of stuff. So I think it'd be really good. And hopefully you'll come over for this one as well.
I hope so. And rumor has it, you know, King Charles might be there. He's gonna bless you with his presence. So, and then the other thing I wanted to ask is more globally, you're a very successful entrepreneur. You didn't get this way overnight. What advice do you have for the next generation of entrepreneurs or for people that are thinking of getting into e-commerce or in general, just anyone who is in any sphere of e-commerce? Do you have any blanket word of advice for them?
Firstly, I'd say I'm definitely not an entrepreneur. I'm not, you know, I don't have too many characteristics of an entrepreneur.
But you wear the mantle. You are the successful founder of an agency with Josh, whether you like it or not.
I think Josh and I are just enthusiasts in what we do. And then there's been some level of like organic growth. But, you know, we've got some good people that run our business for us and with us. So I think that helps. But
So enthusiasm, team, and hard work so far.
The team piece is the big one, really. But I think the only thing I would say, I do think it's a very competitive space at the moment, and specific to agencies, you know, there's definitely areas of the industry that are becoming quite saturated. So I think it's just like constantly be thinking about differentiation and niche. It's kind of how we operate. You know, we kind of stuck to our premium fashion and lifestyle brands, and we've built as much kind of tech as we can around it, built, you know, other...
Yeah, your app is awesome. The Census by Vervant is amazing. Everyone should check it out.
And I think, you know, that's all you can do, really, just double down on trying to be stronger than other people in the area where you're strongest. So that's kind of what we've done. But
so I'm going to just end cap that by saying, never stop learning. Assume that the good times are going to end. Always be thinking about what's next. Basically, you can't ever get comfortable, even if you're enjoying the moment. So you got to enjoy the moment while remaining uncomfortable. As bad as that sounds, life is better when you accept that as a fact versus thinking, okay, I can rest my head, because inevitably things change. And I think that's powerful advice for everyone. And even if someone like you is thinking about that, then really, you know, it's just important. That's just important to know. And then one more thing, because I apologize, we're out of time. You also host a replatforming podcast with James Gerd. You're up to like hundreds of episodes. I know we're going to do a special soon about Hoova Enterprise. Anything you want to say about that podcast, so I could post the link to that too. Everyone should check it out. It's on all the platforms.
I think I love the podcast. James is very patient. He's far better at it than I am. He's far
got to be patient with Paul.
He's far more organized. I think very grateful to him for continuing to do it with me. But yeah, it's we cover some really cool stuff. It's just more that I am often very unprepared, but that's something that I'm trying to.
Yeah, but you're a fountain of knowledge, so it's okay. And I just wanted to say, really appreciate having you on. There's absolutely going to be a part two. As we said, this was months, years in the making, and you and I need to have a further discussion on more topics. I think we need to really take the gloves off. This was a very good, deep, introspective look into enterprise, and I want to say thank you for being on, Paul. Wish you a wonderful weekend, and if there's any shout-outs you want to give at the end of the episode or any causes you're passionate about, you know, we here at eCommerce Hotline are passionate about heart disease and genetic heart disease in the e-commerce community and raising awareness. I would like to give you the opportunity, if there's any causes you're passionate about, to talk about.
Yeah, so I mean, the big one for us at the moment is mental health. We're doing quite a lot around some kind of charity things as a business, just because that's affected my family and a number of other people in our business. So yeah, we're doing a few things with Mind, and there's a suicide charity in London that we're also trying to raise some money for.
That's fantastic. And, you know, and stay strong. And obviously, you know, there's the key thing with that is just to always get support, and you're never suffering alone. Talk to your friends, talk to your family, talk to anyone. Don't suffer alone. And thank you, Paul, for gracing us with your presence. You are the man. Lots of love. And whoever that is off screen, thank you. And have a good evening, Paul. Have a great weekend.
Cheers.
If you need help with e-commerce but don't have time, call the e-commerce hotline. If you need help to make your store shine, call the e-commerce hotline. Your store needs improving, don't deny, gotta call e-commerce hotline. Call 888-499-3266, your store will be fine. 888-499-3266, make your store shine. E-commerce hotline. E-commerce hotline.